Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Craig Ruffalo, Vice President here at McKinney Flavelle. And today is Friday the 13th. Oh my God, Friday the 13th, everybody. Whew. Be careful out there. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. Today, I have with me one of my favorite commodity specialists, our young Eric Thornton. Eric, all the way from Rochester, New York. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing great, Craig. And how are you doing today on this Friday the 13th?
I know you mentioned that right before we got on the air, and I got a little spooked out. I got to tell you, I just thought about it because our neighborhood, we have a black cat. He's a feral cat, and he walks around the neighborhood. One more reason for me to have to stay in today, I guess.
No doubt. Yeah. And watch out for those ladders. Don't be walking underneath them, and keep your fingers, legs, and arms crossed. How about for the rest of the day?
You know, I'm just curl up in a little ball and just kind of sit quietly in the corner.
There we go.
No way. We're not doing that. You know what it is? You know what else it is today, Eric?
What's that?
It is Friday of the Masters.
Ooh,
now, yes. You and I are golf fanatics. This is my favorite tournament of the year, because it typically is in April, right around my birthday. So I always have enjoyed it growing up, and I've had the pleasure of actually attending the Masters a few times.
Yep.
And it's one of those events, Eric, that you know in your life where you build up something and it's, you know, just this unbelievably massively cool thing in your head, but then you go and you're kind of not disappointed, but you're kind of let down that it didn't meet full expectations.
Sure, sure.
I can tell you that event met and exceeded my expectations. It was amazing.
Awesome.
So I've, of course, got a soft heart for this. So who do you predict is going to win this golf tournament? I've got my prediction.
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't checked any of the scores this morning, but I knew where things left off yesterday with Paul Casey getting a good start. And obviously, defending champion Tiger Woods, who I'll say is my favorite golfer, just given his history and me growing up watching him dominate the game. He was very influential for me as an athlete, but he had a good round too, I think 4 under. And I know Justin Thomas was marching towards a nice round before getting pulled off in the dark last night. So I kind of had Justin Thomas coming into it, and
that's a good one.
I don't know where he stands right now, but I'd say him or maybe even Xander Schauffele as one of the guys that could be up there.
That's a good dark horse. Xander Schauffele seems to always get up for these majors, and this is one where I think his length and really his putting could help him. The guy I had going into this tournament, now he has a tendency to either get super hot or can blow up, is Mr. John Rahm.
There you go.
He had been coming in with some serious momentum, the Spaniard, and Spaniards have a good record at the Masters between Seve and
even Sergio recently. Not too long ago.
Yeah, right. Just 2 years ago or last year. I can't even remember now. Anyway, so we digress. But, you know, it's an interesting time, obviously, because this is normally a tournament in April. And here we are in November, right. And they're playing it without any of the patrons, as they call it. But, you know, today I wanted us to have a chance to chat a little bit about some of the things that we're seeing during COVID that still seem to be splashing the airwaves as far as the food and beverage commodity items and products. You know, we see new launches by McDonald's and Pizza Hut for the Impossible products. You've got an Impossible chicken product sandwich now. You've got Impossible sausage for Pizza Hut pizzas. But that's not the only area where you're seeing new ingredients. You know, what else, other ingredients or other categories in the food and beverage space, Eric, have you seen new product launches?
Yeah, certainly. I think there's a lot of attention during this COVID timeframe where folks, you know, obviously aren't able to travel or go to conferences as much. So there's been a lot of, I'll say, development behind the scenes and innovation experiences. And one of them, obviously, that, you know, we follow is CBD.
Oh, yes.
So still a lot of attention to CBD. And, you know, we were talking even earlier today with, you know, the plant-based proteins you had mentioned, and even still some gear towards sugar reduction efforts out there. Lots of speculation as to what different products could be in play in the future for some of those areas. But those are some of the ones I highlighted. Which ones, Greg, on your list have you kind of seen over these last few months in COVID?
Boy, the number one thing that I've seen is the beverage community is trying to reinvent itself. I think that there have been so many options for the consumer that now they have to find something that'll let them stand out as a brand or a product. And I'm seeing, you know, commentary as to each one of them seems to have a new functional, nutritional, value add connotation, label, commentary, so that the consumer feels like they're getting something extra beyond just drinking something that tastes good. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we had the protein shake wave. In fact, my son is still taking protein shakes to try to get some muscle development for football. but, you know, I think it's just in general, I think you see a lot of people launching new products, including CBD-based beverages,
yep.
which, you know, you mentioned CBD, and I think that would be a good ingredient that we should launch into here in this podcast, because frankly, we're doing a hell of a lot of insight to people and education specifically on what's going on. And, you know, you being the in-house expert, I'd love for you to kind of give a recap as to what you're seeing going on in that space.
Yeah, happy to do that. Let's dive into it real quick. A quick summary. It's been a few months since we've talked about hemp CBD and starting with supply, acreage, it looks like we're going to be lower than we were last year. In 2019, there was just about 500,000 acres or so for licensed hemp. Looks like for this year, we're coming down to 405,000 acres as a reaction to the glut of hemp production last year that we saw, and for hemp biomass. And some of the interesting things I'm reading recently in terms of harvest, we've mentioned previously on CBD for hemp, actually, that there's an optimal time to harvest that crop to A, maximize the level of cannabinoids or output, if you will. But there's also a very fine line of pushing that envelope and waiting too long and going over the limit of 0.3% THC.
Oh, yeah.
That legal limit that we've mentioned there. So
that's right.
The consideration for the farmers is not letting their crop get quote unquote hot, because that'll result in those crops to be destroyed. So for Minnesota, for instance, in some of the research I've seen there, crop failures last year because of getting too hot were right around 12%. Looks like this year they're trending lower, somewhere around 5 to 10%. And that kind of seems to be a theme nationwide. So from a supply standpoint, looks like the education and farmer best practices are getting stronger, which is good to see in a new commodity like this. You know, switching over to the demand side, talking about, you know, again, COVID-19, we've seen certainly a rise in interest and more willingness to consume CBD here in COVID-19, which obviously has been a very stressful year for many folks out there.
No question.
But we can all just be thankful we're you know, alive and happy with our families, but certainly the stresses of life are not ignored sometimes. So the benefits, like we've mentioned before on CBD, of, you know, managing anxiety, pain relief through inflammation reduction, helping people with sleep, and just the overall general well-being, there has been more adaptability here to trying and consuming CBD. So some of the data and statistics recently show, you know, pre-COVID to post-COVID, that there's a 20% lift in consumer interest in CBD this year. So
yeah,
pretty high level of attention.
I agree. I can say it personally. I'm taking an omega-3/CBD supplement, and I do it just about every day.
There you go.
Strictly because I've got arthritis, and I'm trying to not just take ibuprofen or Motrin to supplement against that. So I'm a believer personally of its benefits, and I think that's the direction a lot of consumers are going. They're starting to realize that there's an option,
right,
and one that maybe had a little bit of a negativity attached to it under some taboo commentary from way back when, and now they're getting more educated with the likes of folks like you that are helping them through some of these concerns that they may have. But I think this is an ingredient that's going to become a greater commentary by the national brands as we get through regulatory. And, you know, I saw Eric post the election that there were certain states that were starting to relax some of their laws or allow for things to be a little more tolerable in not just CBD, but in general, right?
Exactly.
And so I was just going to ask you, Kind of your thoughts on the momentum on regulatory.
Certainly, yeah. And that's obviously going to be a focus here since we're still lacking that FDA regulation and direction here when it comes to CBD as a additive for food and beverage. But it'll really start in January when President-elect Joe Biden is sworn in. There's going to be some immediate attention to appoint a new head of the FDA. So that's pretty noteworthy, obviously, for
it is.
For CBD. Like I mentioned, to this point, just seemingly hasn't changed too much here in many months, and there's still no timetable in front of us here. But you can expect this to probably persist into 2021 when we get a new head for the FDA. But in response to that, lack of direction to this point, we've seen individual states start to make some of their own rulings and legislations. For instance, in my state here in New York, back at the end of October, they had announced that they were going to set their own standards for ingestible CBD. And this is something that is currently open to the public, but they're going to make a ruling on this in early 2021. So to your point, many more states are looking at this intently and starting to make their own decisions in relation to a food additive. But I think there's still some time to go till we get that federal regulation. But we've obviously seen on the commercial side or the clients that we deal with, Craig, that there's definitely a more perked level of interest, I'd say, over the last 4 or 5 months.
I would agree 100%.
And, commenting on the development and kind of getting familiar with these products. I know you have, a handful of people you're talking to today on, this race, if you will, to develop their own CBD products.
Yeah, I sense that there's kind of a bubble up theory going on amongst the momentum to try to get to the federal level. I think states are at a point now where there's a lot of people that are electing officials that understand and are a little more open-minded to these things, and then propositions get a lot of funding behind it and momentum. And now all of a sudden, I think they've put enough pressure on the federal government. They have to start looking at this in real terms. They can't just turn a blind eye or be the ostrich with the head in the sand. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of that. And then you throw on top of it, as you say, the momentum by the food and beverage community, which 5, 6, 10 months ago probably was just the early adopters looking at it. You got a little bit of the fun of something new, something for R&D to explore, but nothing really on a momentous push. Now you see companies even coming out and putting in the press, print mostly, that what they're attempting to do, what they're looking at as far as this space. And so if anybody is interested to get educated and they're really trying to understand something, Eric, I think we've got a study, don't we? Or a little white paper that you authored on that?
We certainly do, Craig. And you know what the best part about that study is? It is free. Free for all.
Ooh. I like free. I'm about the free.
Can't go wrong with that.
No, not at all. Well, I'll tell you what. I think if anybody out there is listening, and I think you should, is check it out. It's on our website. And just click the link and go ahead and read it. It's a short read. It's actually very educational. Mm-hmm. It is a category that does take some time to understand the nuances to it.
Absolutely.
It's not simply drop and play right there. And so I would like and encourage anyone to contact McKinney Flavell to talk about it personally, but certainly feel free to start with the reading of the white paper. Well, Eric, it is Friday the 13th. I do not want you to go outside and see a black cat, as I said, beginning of the day. So be careful out there on the range before you hit any golf ball today. Hopefully you're going to get a chance to play today before the weather turns too cold. It's too cold for me out here in California, of all places, to actually go out today. So I'm going to just stay in and watch the Masters this evening, I think.
That sounds like a great alternative. I might do the same.
Awesome. Well, we thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Eric, for your time today. And that'll wrap up our weekly Hot Commodity Podcast. And as Mike always says, let's live with an attitude of gratitude. Well, until next time, everyone, take care.
Bye-bye.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Flavell's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.